Hey, babe.
It's Aisha Christina. Nice to meet you.
This is Quality Queen Control.
What is happening?
Hello, angels. Happy Wednesday. How is everybody feeling? What has everyone been up to? It has been truly such a long break for me on YouTube. I kind of feel like this has been the longest because it's been like almost 3 months, or maybe I have done this one time before, but I feel like every time I take a break, I'm always thinking in my head, okay, what content do I want to focus on more? Because to be transparent with you guys, a lot has changed, and I wasn't going to mention it because I am a super private person, but I am in a relationship and it's very, very special to me and very important for me to keep that privacy. I don't really know what to share or anything in regards to it, other than the fact that I'm extremely happy, and yeah. So this is new news for you guys. I am in a relationship, and that's not the reason for me being gone on YouTube at all. I'm just letting you guys know because it's just a lot easier to say everything I want to say for whatever reason on here. So that's the best part about tuning into Quality Queen Control, is that you guys get to know what's going on with me before even people on my channel know what's going on with me. So you guys know something that people on YouTube don't know yet. And anyways, I was thinking about gearing my content towards more of that traditional femininity, soft girl life sort of thing. I don't know. I feel like that's not super different for my channel. However, I'd like to put a lot more emphasis and focus on it. Of course, I will always be, you know, doing dating content because that's just something that I am super passionate about. But I feel like things are different for me because I do want to produce content that is relevant to my life as well, just to mix things up and things like that. So I think that'll be pretty interesting. So that is the update with me. In regards to today's episode, as you guys can see from the title, we are going to be doing a little juicy Q&A, where, yeah, I posted on my Instagram where for you guys to ask me a bunch of different questions, and I got a ton of questions, and I'm going to just go through them all because I couldn't really decide on a solid topic. So if nothing really like speaks to me and jumps out at me, I just am thinking, okay, let me just take this opportunity to, you know, see what you guys want me to talk about. So let's start with question number one. How to get over heartbreak? I need help. Okay. Well, firstly, the only way out is through, right? It's really, really difficult. I remember there was a time where I thought that I really loved one of my boyfriends at the time, and I thought I was heartbroken. I mean, I literally was crying for 3 days. It was misery, and it was just a horrible experience, but it really did draw me closer to God. I realize now in hindsight that was not love. It just simply wasn't, because heartbreak truly is, what I believe, physical ailments. Like, you feel your heart is broken. You have physical symptoms of like extreme heartache and things like that. So I don't think heartache is something I've ever truly experienced. However, true devastation I have. So in order to get over a heartbreak, I mean, you have to just go through the motions, right? You have to cry. You have to be sad. You have to be angry. You have to be devastated. You have to feel all of these things. I think it's so easy to get into the mindset of, oh my God, just get over it. Think about this and get over it. Come on. Like, it's way easier said than done. It's not going to happen like that. It's just not going to happen. And it's important to let yourself feel these emotions, but also check in with yourself so that you're not dwelling, right? Because it is not time that heals all. It is what we do with the time that heals all. So you can spend the next year, 6 months to a year, dwelling on what coulda, shoulda been and how upset and sad and devastated you are. Or you can say, all right, I'm going to give myself a month to be extremely sad about this. Month number two, I got to start making steps to move forward. I got to get into therapy so that I'm healing in the right way. And I think this is so important. How we heal is so crucial to the remainder of our lives. And it truly dictates the rest of our relationships, right? Why? Because that experience we do carry, let's be real, onto our next experiences. Now, whether or not it's fair, no, but things that happen to us that are extremely traumatizing, they're going to carry on to the next relationship to some degree. So healing in a healthy way, getting professional advice and help on heartbreak and how to do things in a rational manner is very important. Now, I don't have a step-by-step of do this and do that, and that's how you're going to get over a heartbreak. Because the only advice that I truly have, in all transparency, is to let yourself feel the feelings and then start to make those progressive steps in a healthy manner. And I always am a huge advocate for getting professional help because that to me is the number one sound way. Also, getting into your spirituality, taking that time to draw closer to God, to give you that extra strength. If anything, that should be the first thing that you do. And while you're simultaneously getting therapy at the same time, because faith without works is dead. Finding happiness in singleness. Well, I have been single for quite some time before now. And it's just very interesting because the best way that I could describe it is, and it sounds, I don't know, depending on your perspective, it can sound maybe a little grave, but it's amazing how you can meet so many different people and you almost mean nothing to them. And then you can meet someone and you are everything to them. So finding happiness in your singleness is so important. Because truthfully, was I happy when I was single? Yes, I absolutely was happy when I was single. I was going out on dates. It was such a fun experience. I mean, of course, in all transparency, from time to time, it would suck if maybe I made a connection and I was hoping that it would go somewhere. Or these days, honestly, angels, connections don't even end. They just like dissipate in a very weird, like, I don't even know, space. I don't know if the word is ghosting, but for instance, right? I went on a date with this guy once and it was literally amazing. I mean, I had so much fun. It was truly like grade A. He put in so much effort. He even planned our second date, asked me out on a second date and planned the second date. Now, the second date was supposed to come around and for whatever reason, I do know the reason, but he told me basically that he wasn't able to make the second date. I'm thinking, okay, absolutely no problem. I mean, nothing happened between, you know, us at all where anything would be wrong for him to, you know, not make a rain check or whatever. So I didn't read anything. I didn't read too much into it. So after the second date was supposed to happen, that date of the date we were supposed to have came and gone, and him and I never really spoke again after that. It just, nothing happened between us. There was no fight. There was no weird conversation or anything. We both had a great time. I'm certain of it, but it just went, you know, nowhere for whatever reason, unbeknownst to me. And we have to understand that That has absolutely nothing to do with this. And it's so easy to personalize this because dating can be very traumatic. Like I said in my last podcast, it absolutely can. It does take, you know, it does wear and tear on your confidence, especially when it, you know, pertains to online dating. And I divulge more into that in my last podcast episode. I released two episodes last week, Angels. And yeah, I just find it to be very interesting, dating in general, because it's like you have all these guys that one minute want to talk to you, and in the next second, it's like they're all silent at the same time. It's very interesting. And being happy in your singleness means just being present, right? Enjoy the getting ready and getting the fabulous pictures and going on the fabulous dinners and just being present. I found that when I was present and I wasn't obsessed with, is he going to call me back? Is he going to do this? Is he going to do that? I shifted my perspective and I said to myself, okay, I don't care whether or not this guy likes me. I'm not walking into it thinking, does he like me? No, I'm walking into it thinking, well, do I like him? Do I like this food? Do I like this restaurant? Do I like the ambiance? Do I like the effort that he has put into this date? Do I like our conversation? Do I like that? And when you have multiple great, you know, dates and things like that with even different people, it does become an enjoyable process. And I think that all of us need that experience. I'm going to be very honest. I'm very grateful for all of the dating experience that I have because I have a lot to where I can genuinely say I do know what is out there. I absolutely do. Do I miss that, in all honesty? No. But at the same time, I'm not demonizing my single stage because I'm not single anymore. It's just I'm not single. That's just what it is at the end of the day. I had fun when that was my time to have fun. And now I'm in a relationship and I'm happy and I'm present here and this is where my life is right now and I love it right here, but I also loved it there as well. So I think it's just important to understand that we can't obsess over the outcomes of, oh my God, it's like dating should be fun. It's not this dreadful process. We can't be dreadful towards it and have all of these negative feelings towards it and expect positive outcomes if we're going to be dreading going on dates and obsessing over the outcome of, oh my God, like I hope this guy's not wasting my time. That's not a good mindset to have. So to be happy in your singleness, be present and just have fun, okay? Red flags. If it's worth it or going to lead to a relationship when dating younger men. Now, this is an interesting question because it depends on what you mean by younger, okay? The person that I'm in a relationship with is only a year older than me, which is very shocking, I know, to people that do know me. But yeah, we're only a year apart and it just depends on your mindset. At the same time, I'm 28 years old, so I'm young, obviously. Don't even try to play me. I'm young, but I'm at the age where something real can happen. I think under the age of 25, dating is very difficult. Like if you're a mature woman, you almost feel like you have to date people that are like in their 30s and things like that because of how fast we mature than guys that are going to be 21 years old and things like that. So it depends on the mindset. Honestly, for men, I would say as long if they're 28 and above, I think that's a pretty good, something pretty solid can come from it, but it all depends on that person's mindset, whether or not they're established, different things have to be taken into account because it's easy for me to stereotypically say not many 28-year-olds, and especially younger than that, are going to be ready to be in a commitment. It kind of has to be who you are, right? There's no book really that, you know, is going to just give you, you're not going to have a guaranteed answer of, okay, this guy's going to, there are 45-year-olds that are still immature, not ready for commitment and things like that. However, I will say it is safe to say that people that are guys that are going to be 25 and younger, they're not going to tend to be super serious because there's just no reason to be. You know what I mean? They're super young. They're trying to figure out whether and what they even want to do. You know, who knows, like, if they have, like, a job or anything like that. And for men, having that financial security is super important to them. Beginning to establish that financial security is super important to them, because innately being able to provide is what gives them that confidence boost and enables them to be able to date. Because let's be real here, angels, dating for men is very expensive. I'm not saying it's not for us either, because let's be real here, I walk in and my makeup is like $500 to $1,000 walking through the building, okay? Like, let's be real. But for men, going out on multiple dates and things like that, they are pretty pricey, you know, for guys and stuff like that. So it just depends on that person. It really does. I mean, I can't even give it a blanket term. Getting over a sneaky link or booty call appointment. Getting over it. I'm not really sure what you mean by getting over being in that position. I mean, it sucks to discover that that this guy's always calling you at dark 30. I mean, I can imagine that's pretty horrifying, because I'm sure you want to spend time with him, but then there's that awkward tension where it's like, okay, I know he literally wants to get rid of me before 6 a.m. Like, he really wants me to leave his house or whatever the case is. And it sucks, but the only way to get over that is to tell yourself that you're not going to do it again, because being in that position of being a sneaky link is not a gratifying one. It's definitely not something that I feel like I ever would want to be a part of. And that's not coming down on anyone, because sometimes people find themselves in this position on accident because they're hoping that, especially for my younger angels, you're hoping that this is going to turn into something. It will not. It seldom ever does, okay? We can't talk about the anomalies every 5 seconds. We have to focus on the vast majority. And the vast majority of women do not get relationships from being booty calls at dark 30, you know? So the only way to get over a booty call type of situation is to self-reflect and say, you know what? I'm not going to answer this guy, no matter how much I like him, no matter how much I want to spend more time with him. No, I'm not going to come over at dark 30 because he's really hot and we have so much fun together. Because guess what? The feeling that I get after is not worth it. So you have to be smarter in the moment and choose the logic over your temporary feelings. You going over there for the night is so fun. You're packing your bag. You're texting your girls. Yes, girl, I'm going over there tonight. Ooh, I'm going to have so much fun. Now, guess what? You come home at 6 a.m. the next day and you're obsessed with him for the rest of the day. And how many times are you going to do that before you realize, oh, crap, he's totally not into me. I'm sitting here thinking about him all day long. He's not thinking about me at all, besides when he gets off of work and we have no real dates or anything like that. I know I can't really bring it up because I also know what it is too. Who wants to be in that position? So you are in control of your body and what it is that you're doing with your body, babe. So you have to make the decision to just stop. Okay. And I know that might not be the advice that you want to hear, but it's the truth. At the end of the day, I don't really see any other solution to this other than just simply forcing yourself to stop. Because like I said, and I will say this till I turn blue in the face, men sleep with who they can, women sleep with who they want. Starting a new journey and how to get on track and stay consistent. Now, I am currently just like struggling with this because, as I've mentioned in my last podcast episodes, the two that I don't remember which one it was, but I've just sometimes I get so lost in everything else that I do in my life, domestically, cleaning, organizing, and just all the other things I have to do, my life, that I really struggle with the work-life balance. But it's like, once I'm on track, I am like super on track, super consistent, super organized, writing in my planner every single day, it's just, you have to force yourself. It's like working out, right? You don't want to go to the gym, but once you're there, you're just like, yes, I love being here. That's what it is. And I say that to you, and I'm saying that to myself as well. How to know when a friend slash boyfriend, someone you know, is using you? Well, one, the fact that you even think they're using you, they probably are. Because unless you're unhinged, and I highly doubt you are, people don't usually have feelings like that. People are not going, you're not going to have this weird intuitive feeling, I wonder if I'm being used. There's no reason to be hypervigilant unless you had some sort of extreme traumatic experience where that has happened to you before. But usually that's your gut telling you something, that something is amiss here, something isn't right. So if you have to even think about someone using you, something funny is probably going on there. So that's how I would answer that question. Okay, let's see. How to properly vet a new guy you... Guys, I'm so sorry, I have hiccups. How to properly vet a new guy that you were dating? Well, what are your conversations like? Let me tell you something, and I can say this from being in a relationship perspective. When you are dating somebody, you know that they are into you by what they speak about with you, what they choose to put effort and time into. And I'm not talking about only the lavish dates. I mean, really effort in getting to know you as an individual. So caring about what genuinely makes you happy. What are your genuine interests? What are your aspirations? What are your goals in life? What is your perspective? What are your beliefs? Even what are your spiritual beliefs? Because if somebody is truly wanting to get to know you, they're going to ask you deep questions. Your upbringing, what is that like? What is your family like? Things like that. What they choose to focus on, the types of dates you go on. They're going to be activity based. They're not going to be drinking and smoking all day long. That's not how you get to know somebody, because those are inhibitors. Okay. And a lot of people, I've realized, they really just can't live life not doing these things. And it just really is interesting, because how are you truly ever supposed to get to know someone if we're going to be meeting at the strip club all day? I just don't know. Hello. I really don't. But you properly vet someone by seeing their interest in you, okay? Their consistency, okay? Their actions, not only their words, okay? And just by all of those things. That's how you properly vet someone when it comes to dating. And please, ladies, like, I promise you, the right person is going to find you. Don't get too in your head about things. Please take it from me, because trust me, I've been there, done that. Not trying to act like I'm so experienced and I know everything, because I certainly don't, but I do know a lot about what it is that I'm talking about. And I found that what made me super happy in my dating experience was just being present and not, you know, taking it so, you know, serious. As much as I am a relationship type of girl, it just gave me more peace of mind to not obsess over the outcome of things and oh my gosh, is this guy the one for me? And you know what I mean? It's just, you have to just think, you can tell, angels, like, you won't have to have all these questions with the right person. If I had to say anything, if I had to just sum it up to answer your question, you won't really feel the need to vet someone like that, because they're just going to fit perfectly. They're going to just dot all the I's, cross all the T's, or majority of them, I should say, effortlessly. And you're going to turn around and you're going to be like, wait a second, this guy has a great job. This guy's super consistent. This guy's super caring about me. He asks me very in-depth questions. He's not trying to, you know, have sex with me every 5 seconds. He's not, you know, trying to, you know, smoke and drink as a date. Hey, let's meet in my car and smoke for a date. He's not trying to, you know, do anything that's crazy. He's really trying to get to know me. He seems like he's very invested. He's patient. Whatever it is that you have on your list that are important to you, that guy's, you know, is going to fulfill majority of those things. I'm telling you, write down your list. And when that person comes, you're going to realize, holy moly, this person crosses off so many things on my list. Okay, I hope that answers your question. Being patient and grateful in trying times. Well, I think that this is the most important time to be grateful. I've gone through extreme, as everyone else has too, trials and tribulations, especially being on YouTube alone. And you guys know my story. And it really allowed me to draw extra close to God, where I was so hurt and broken and just sad and just confused on why certain things were happening to me. I just could not understand whatsoever. But I found that being grateful has tremendously changed my life, my relationships with everyone around me. I mean, truly, I write down what I'm grateful for every day. Yes, there may be some days where I forget, where my routine is thrown off, but I am consistent with it. Where I'm writing down the things that I'm grateful for. I'm scripting the things that haven't happened yet, and I'm writing them as though that they have. Because there's always something to be grateful for. Oprah Winfrey says, there was a time where she was so broken over a breakup with a guy. And she says that, I don't remember who she was with. One of her friends said, say thank you. And she was crying and she's like, why would I say thank you when I just got broken up with? That doesn't make any sense to me. So she started saying it as she was weeping. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And she realized in hindsight that that guy, even though it hurt her and shook her to her core, that he did her a favor by breaking up with her, because obviously her life is, well, she's Oprah Winfrey. So we don't realize that there's always something to be grateful for. Let's say everything is going to shambles. Well, is the weather nice? Can you see outside your window? Do you have a window? Can you feel the heat? Can you feel the cool breeze? Can you see the birds chirping? Can you see the birds flying around? It sounds funny and minute, but it's not. Because those are all things to be grateful for. If you can't even find something to be grateful for in your own life right now, sometimes it's like that, and that's okay. But there's always something externally as well to be grateful for. Having your own bed, waking up in your own bed. It may not be your dream house. You may not even like your own room, but you have a place to lay your head. And when you start to really, as they say, count your blessings, your life really turns around. If I could recommend a book to you, whoever wrote me this comment, this question, you need to read the book, The Magic. I'm telling you, that book dramatically changed my life. And this, it's all kind of based on biblical, you know, teachings as well, because God also says that we should be grateful for everything that we have and count our blessings. And so it really does reiterate a lot of those things. Okay. Maintaining feminine energy in toxic environments and situations. I think this is a good question, because it's so easy to think, oh, I don't want to be aggressive or viewed as aggressive when it comes to standing up for myself and things. But angels, let me tell you this. There are times where you're going to have to put your foot down. And of course, delivery is everything. There's no reason to put on an act. Oh my God, you just stepped on my foot. Oh, please don't do that. No, sometimes you have to say, excuse me. Do not do that to me. Please be respectful. I've been nothing but nice to you. Whatever the situation is, sometimes you're going to have to turn up the heat. And that's not going to make you less feminine. That's being protective. And that's a human instinct. I think sometimes people view femininity and all these different things as some sort of alternative lifestyle that they could just put on like a costume and they have to like suit up to have it on. And it just reminds me of, not that it's a negative thing, but for context as to what I'm saying, it reminds me of being on my channel in the beginning and everyone's like, oh my gosh, how do you talk like that? And it has always baffled me whenever people ask me, how do I talk the way that I talk? Because the way that I talk
is genuinely the way that I talk. Of course, there's going to be times where my voice is more high-pitched, where the cadence of my voice may change from time to time. Or, you know, maybe my voice is, right now, my voice is extremely, I don't want to say monotone, but it's pretty even and equal for the most part. I'm not, you know, super excited or anything like that. There's not a lot of, to me, inflection in the things that I'm saying, in my tone or anything like that. But for the most part, my voice is consistently the same. And there are times where you're going to feel a little bit more, you know, maybe you may put on the baby voice if there's a guy that you're attracted to and you're like, yeah, I like that. Mm-hmm. Like, whatever. But when it comes to boundaries and toxic environments and being feminine, you know what? I'm going to do a video on this. I think this is so important to cover because I have too much to say about it that I won't be able to get it covered into this podcast. But I think it's still important to have those boundaries if you are crossed. And to maintain your femininity in these environments, okay, is to respect your boundaries. That is a part of maintaining your femininity, believe it or not. And you don't have to, again, delivery is everything. You don't have to curse people out. You don't have to roll your eyes at them or anything. You can just take a deep breath. Okay. All right, whatever. If they're going to be like that, they're going to be like that. I don't know if you can speak to a supervisor. It's very difficult when it comes to these toxic, you know, environments and situations, especially in the workplace. I almost have zero advice for that, I'm going to be honest, because I've only worked when I was working for a health insurance company, and that was just, I loved my coworkers. I did not like my supervisor. She was a walking nightmare. They were complaining about my perfume. And she was just ridiculous. It was giving clown. So let me answer a couple more questions that I have. There are so many, guys, as you can see, and my explanation is like 5 minutes per question. What do you think about monogamy and cheating? You never really talk about it. Okay, well, one, I do believe in monogamy. I do not believe in cheating at all. And that's why it really grinds my gears. Well, actually, who am I kidding? It doesn't bother me at all. It's interesting to me when people look at my roster video and they're like, oh my gosh, are you encouraging people to cheat? That's interesting. Why would I be encouraging people to cheat? Do you understand how you sound? You sound ridiculous. Why would I say, oh yes, be in a relationship? I've never, ever said, while you're in a relationship, keep your roster. I never said that. In fact, I said the antithesis of that. I said, while you are talking to people, it's important sometimes, if you are a person that's going to be obsessive over one individual, which let's be real here, a lot of us all the time are, including myself, you have to keep your options open so that you can take a little less focus on that one person sometimes, because sometimes many of us are not balanced enough to be present and talk to one individual. And hey, if it happens, it happens. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. A lot of us are not capable of doing that. So sometimes having those other interests, okay, allow you to balance your energy to where you're not super hyper focused on the one who's not paying attention. But what's interesting about that is, I'm going to be very honest, I don't even know if that necessarily works all the time either, because psychologically, we will always pay attention to the person who's giving us the least attention. So I think this ties into my next question, where someone asked me, what are some things I no longer believe about dating? And I think that's one of the things, I don't want to say I no longer believe in it, but it's one of the things where I'm a little iffy on, as opposed to being 100% set on having a roster, which I know is shocking to some of you that are still listening, because people are going to be obsessed with one person regardless of whether or not they have that roster. And having a roster, when I initially introduced that idea onto my channel, was honestly for myself as well. I was always the girl that only spoke to one guy at a time. And as I got older, after a couple of relationships, I realize, okay, I'm dating these people and they are literally dating me and a million other people. I'm not getting that same devotion back. So I feel hurt because my feelings are so invested because I wasn't capable of balancing my feelings of understanding, okay, yes, I'm technically not official with this person, or I'm not even technically, I'm not official with this person at all. And I'm not really okay with them dating and talking to other people. I'm struggling with how to navigate through that. So me having those other options made me feel like, it made me feel better that I wasn't so focused on just trying to get that one individual's attention, if that made sense, or hyper-focusing on that one individual feeling the way that I felt about them. I hope that makes sense. So bouncing right back to cheating and things like that, I would never condone cheating. I am 100% believe in monogamy, but I want to be very clear. Having a roster when you are single is not cheating. And that's what people miss a lot of the times on that video. They think that I'm talking about being in a relationship and have a million other guys on the side. That is incredibly ridiculous and toxic. And that goes against everything that I believe in. I respect the sanctity of relationships and marriage. And that's where a lot of people get mixed up, because being in a relationship is a two-person decision. You can't be in a relationship with somebody by yourself. So for all the people that it went over their heads, they're thinking that I'm saying be in a relationship and have a roster. No, I'm saying while you're single, if you are someone that needs to have a roster, yeah, you should have a roster. Maybe talk to another person. It could be one or two other people and see how that works for you. You're not doing anything wrong by doing that because you don't know what that other person is doing. Does that make sense? I hope that clears it up. But no, I would never condone cheating for the last time. And also, I believe in monogamy. I am a monogamist. I do not enjoy the concept of any sort of, I don't want to demonize and say sexual deviancy because that's my opinion, but I don't agree with polygamy. I don't agree with open relationships. I don't, anything outside of the traditional norms of just dating one person, marrying one person, being with one person is just not something that is for me. I don't care who else is doing it. And if it works for other people, great. I don't believe that for my life. I don't want that for my life. And that's not something I practice. Non-monogamy is not something I practice. I know there's a new thing on these online dating profiles. These people practice ethical non-monogamy. I don't care for that either. So yeah, there's a million other things you can get into these days. I just like whatever is simple because that's what makes sense for me and my lifestyle. Things to do when you feel demotivated. I think you mean unmotivated. Well, one, spending a lot of time in nature. And I tend to watch a lot of organizing types of things. So if you ever looked at my YouTube algorithm, you will see a lot of iPad digital planning videos, a bunch of true crime videos, and some like celebrity gossip type of content as well. But yeah, I think that connecting to nature, reading my devotion in the morning, and kind of having that little routine, writing the things that I'm grateful for, are the bare minimum things that make me feel like, okay, I'm getting my life back in order. I'm starting to get things back on track, cleaning my space, organizing my room, or even tidying up my room will make me feel motivated again. The best thing you can do is make sure that your space is clear. You're never going to want to produce any sort of work if your space is not neat and clean. Okay? And I'm going to answer this last question. Okay, so basically, it's very long what this person has sent me. It's kind of explicit. She's saying, Aisha, how do I stop feeling WET after what happened last night with this ex situationship guy? I need help. If you can say something, please read all these points. I want to move on. Let me see. He's not my boyfriend. We're not in a relationship, but we were close friends. We broke up this morning. I can't stop thinking about what happened, and I keep feeling, you know what I just said. I want to stop. This made me feel really weird, and that word again. We had phone sex last night, and I'm a virgin, and this was my first time. He got horny. All of a sudden, I'm so explicit, but whatever. Okay. Basically, she's saying, how does she get out of her feelings and out and get this guy out of her head? Well, considering the fact that you are a virgin, this is science. If you're going to be having a very heated and steamy conversation with someone, you're going to get feelings. It's very normal. You shouldn't feel like bad for feeling these things because you were engaging in something that was supposed to supposed to warrant those feelings. So I wouldn't feel, you know, bad or disgusting as you described for those things. And at the end of the day, a lot is going to live in the fantasy for you because you're not sexually active at all. You've never done anything. So a lot of things are going to be living in your head rent-free over and over again. You can play the instance, and of course they're going to warrant those feelings, and they're going to be even stronger because, you know, you're not an active person yet, and that's completely fine. However, I think the strong point here is that you can sort of use that as a superpower and be extra strong because you have not completely gone, you have not done anything with this person besides have a steamy phone conversation with this person. And what's odd is that he breaks up with you the next day after this conversation. I mean, that's very different. And I don't know how you guys have broken up when it doesn't really seem like you guys were together. I guess he probably said something to you that made you feel like, okay, he's trying to really define the fact that this is absolutely nothing. Let's leave whatever happened in the past last night. And that's very hurtful. So you're feeling shame for feeling these feelings for someone that literally doesn't seem to want anything to do with you or progressing any sort of relationship with you, and you're feeling shame around that. And I think that's a bad thing to have because you don't want to start to put shame around your sexuality or anything like that, because you're going to carry those negative feelings onto the next person, and you don't want to feel shame for those feelings whatsoever. However, I understand where it's coming from because that person made you feel like that, where they kind of made you feel like, okay, I'm disposing of you, and now you're stuck with these feelings after that conversation with that individual, and you're just left wondering, okay, well, where do I go from here? Because I'm still thinking about that amazing conversation and my feelings from that conversation, and now I don't really know where to go from here. And that sucks, you know what I mean? It really does suck, but you can't, with this type of situation, trust me, you're going to get over it. I know it sounds and it feels like, oh my gosh, I don't know what I'm going to do right here and right now, but trust me, this is not as serious as it may feel, and that's not to minimize your feelings in any way, but I could promise you that there's going to be a million other people or many other people that are going to give you those same exact feelings that you had in that little steamy conversation, and you're going to get over it, trust me. I know right now it just feels like it's so, you know, paramount to you, but getting out of your feelings would be to just, the only way would be to engage in other things. And whatever's taking center stage in your mind and in your heart right now has to just dissipate. And the only way for it to dissipate is for you to start focusing on other things. There's no other way. Like, there really isn't any other way. And sometimes we ask these questions even though we know there's really no other way other than forcing ourselves, because it feels easier when someone else says it. Because truthfully, let's be real here, There's no manual to be like, all right, step one, do this. Step two, do this. There's no manual for this stuff. So I hope that hearing me say it out loud, that, hey, you're going to go through the motions. You're going to get over it. You got to start focusing on other things. You already know where this guy stands. So you can't invest more of your heart into it. Let's be real here. You're going to feel this lustful desire towards this person, but your heart shouldn't be where that lustful desire is because you already know where this guy stands. I hope that makes sense. So that concludes the end of this Q&A, Q and Angels, Q&A-sha. I don't even know what else to call it, but that concludes the end of this episode, Angels. I really need to start on season 4, guys. This season is the longest season ever, season 3, which I don't really mind because it is pretty significant to me. Season 3 is pretty significant. You guys know I love the number 3. So we will see what goes on next, guys. I don't have a date of when I'm going to be coming back to YouTube, but I do want to say thank you. I will be coming back, absolutely. Like, I'm not quitting or anything. Let's be very clear. But I want to thank you guys so much for tuning in every single week to listen to me and just to wherever you're going, to work or whatever it is. Thank you so much for tuning into my podcast every single Wednesday. I really appreciate it. I love you guys so much, and I'll speak to you guys in my next episode.